there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Shane Shope and Dr. David Long with the Appalachian Rural Education Hub. Gentlemen, thanks for spending time with us today.
It's good to be with you.
Yeah, likewise. Good to be with you, Leanne.
Now, I was unaware of this particular group until I was contacted about doing the show, and I imagine most of our listeners are also unaware of what the AREH is. So to get started, let's talk a little bit about the origin and the purpose of the organization.
Well, Leanne, we got contacted a while back by the Rural Schools Collaborative, and one of the things that our new Dean Anthony Norman was discussing with them was about becoming the new rural hub with the collaborative. So the Volgeno College of Education decided to take on this initiative. And from that standpoint, we're still kind of getting our feet under us, looking to kind of share stories and information about rural education in our region. The hub itself is going to be not only just Kentucky in our service region, but include Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia. So we're going to be looking at working together, put together some authentic work projects, working to support some area schools, and then try to collaborate on efforts like some place network and grants in place funding to kind of help us do our work. And Dr. Long's going to be able to share a little bit more about some of the programs that we're trying to delve into. But for the most part, we're interested in trying to, I don't want to say reconnect, but reaffirm our commitment to rural education in the service region.
I feel like there's a lot of collaboration happening, especially since the pandemic. Everybody's trying to reach out and help each other and focus on the things that are the most important for each organization. But the Morehead State, especially the College of Education, kind of has a rich history of really being an active part of education throughout the region. I mean, I remember as I guess I was probably 10 or 11, and my aunt was a student in the College of Education, and we would come in with her during the summer and do workshops and let the students practice teach with these different students from the community. And I feel like was that really something that MSU got away from for a little while?
I don't think so. I think more maybe so with just the pandemic itself. I think for us, it's a way to network with the other hubs in the country. I think they're around a good 7 or 8 of them. And I know there's some new ones coming on, but I think it's just another vehicle to make that happen, to make sure that we're kind of meeting or bridging the gap, probably a better way of saying it, between the schools and the university itself. So, and we're looking to be able to put on, you know, some professional developed webinars, which we can delve into here in a little bit. But our goal is to make sure that we're, you know, a viable partner with the schools in the area. I think that's something the dean is really interested in doing, and we're looking forward to the opportunities that we can provide.
Now, before we get into these particular opportunities, I'd like to know a little bit about how you each got involved with this initiative.
David, do you want to kind of tell them how you got involved?
Yeah, so, you know, I came back to Kentucky about 5 years ago. I was working in the Washington, D.C. area and at another university on a project that had like a time limit. And when the opportunity to come back popped up, I was looking for work in a bunch of different parts of the country. I had gone to UK for my doctoral work. But it always felt comfortable being in this part of the country. I'm from the Appalachian part of Pennsylvania. And so the Appalachian part of Kentucky, you know, it is somewhat similar and somewhat comforting. But I saw that there was a job open here at Morehead State, and I knew that would be a place I could really connect with the students because of somewhat similar background. I'm a first generation college student. I know a lot of our students are, but specifically thinking about the rural hub, I've been for a very long time very concerned about the kind of emptying out of rural places and what that means for jobs and work. And in some of the teaching that I do, you know, it has direct, there's direct conversations with like the disappearance of coal mining as a form of work. So it's a big challenge to keep a place vital, to keep people connected to meaningful work. And I see the university and our work as part of that. And the Rural Hub is a way to take lessons from other parts of the country that are dealing with similar kinds of issues and see what's working and what's not so we can best apply our efforts.
I would agree with that totally. I think it's just a way for us to focus. And I think there are a lot of great things happening, you know, in the area that we can be a part of highlighting and trying to draw some positive attention to. And I think that's the reason why I'm really excited about a lot of the projects that we've been discussing and some of the new programs that are coming online. But, you know, initially, I guess we got involved through just personal networking. I've known Alan Pratt, who's the executive director with the National Rural Education Association, and Gary Funk with the Rural Schools of Collaborative. And it just, you know, it's just those conversations and, you know, a perfect placement. And they felt like Moorhead was the right place to put the Appalachian Hub. And I couldn't agree more.
Now, your group is working to sponsor a professional development webinar for local practitioners based on Debbie Walker's work, which focuses on a teacher concept called the Recipe for Reading. Let's talk a little bit about that initiative and when it is anticipated to launch.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. We're looking probably sometime late April to do, it's about an hour and a half webinar for local education or local practitioners. And Dr. Sherry Stoltz and Debbie Walker are going to be putting that on. Debbie's from the, if I get this right, KDEC, and she's done a lot of work with early literacy in the region to help, you know, teachers and so forth. So we're really excited about that. We did one back in January. That was our first one. We did one on mental health. We had Dr. Jared Schertz come in and provide about a 2-hour webinar just on some mental health issues to support not only teachers, but to give building administrators ideas about how they can handle, you know, the stresses of the job. But more so, we were, you know, talking a lot about how dealing with the stressors of the pandemic at the time. So, and of course, that continues. But yeah, we're really excited. We're going to try to do a few of these each year. Right now, we're going to be doing them obviously through video conferencing, but hopefully in the future, we'll be able to expand that where we can do them, you know, out into the service region.
I feel like the pandemic probably highlighted some disparity throughout the region just because of access to the internet. And I feel like a lot of students really, really struggled. And that was one of the things that pushed local school districts to kind of get back into the classroom as quickly as possible. You know, I was lucky with my children. We live in town, easy access to the internet, and a flexible job schedule where I could help facilitate online learning. But really, this kind of focus has shown that there are students within our region that are really far behind. Even taking out the fact that they've kind of been out of the classroom for a year, they were already behind, and getting them back up to speed is going to be really difficult.
I think so, but, you know, I'm really excited from the standpoint that, you know, educators have always been folks that can adapt to just about anything. And I think this is another, you know, instance where, you know, we've all adapted, you know, we've had to do that here at the university as well, but, you know, we've made the best of the situation. Learning probably didn't take place at a level that we all desired, but I still think there was learning taking place. And I think it's kudos to the wonderful teachers that we have out there. And I think probably David could add to that because he works more closely with our teacher ed program. But I think with the challenges that we faced, we've done a really good job.
I would add on to what Shane was saying. One of the things that the pandemic did, I mean, you could play two different sides of this coin, but to, you know, focus on the positive that we continue to that we can continue to grow with. The pandemic really showed where there's inequality out in access to the internet, like you said, Leanne. But what effect that has on children's ability to learn. You know, when you're sitting there teaching and you get a window not only into the students' lives, but like literally into their living room where they might be seeing. I know a lot of us saw situations just, you know, I have the comfort of being in a room that I can close off doors, close off windows if need be or whatnot, and just focus on the students' attention. But often there'd be like 6-7 people walking around the room and distractions and whatnot. Or more often the case for our very low-income students, you know, just no access to the internet, right? So one of the benefits of this, you know, the learning that took place from this is that we need to attend more closely to those inequalities, access to the internet, but just, you know, the ability to get to campus, get to school, be prepared to learn. It showed up very clearly in the K-12 system and in the university system. So, you know, the lesson from that is we can do better as a system to attend to those kinds of needs. You know, obviously there's a lot of drawbacks to a pandemic and everyone isolated in their houses. But, you know, the positive is I think we can address some inequalities in different ways in the future.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Best of Car Talk is back on WMKY.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that my husband is an automotive weenie, so he has been no help with my problem with my brakes on my car.
An automotive weenie?
He is.
Yes. So what did your poor husband do to earn this title of automotive weenie?
Well, basically, he doesn't know anything about anything. No, I can't
guess. The Best of Car Talk, Saturday mornings at 10, Sunday mornings at 6 on WMKY 90.3 FM.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Shane Shope and Dr. David Long with the Appalachian Rural Education Hub. Thanks again for being here. We're talking about some initiatives that the organization has going forward, and a long-term plan includes the development of a place-based program that creates interpretive historic trails for the area. As a hiker myself and someone who spends a lot of time in the forest, I know that we have valuable resources right here in our community to access that. And how do you intend to connect this with education?
Yeah, so I've been working with just this week with a ranger from the National Forest Service to begin partnering to think about using our trail system in a different way. We don't know exactly where this would be, but we have ideas for in and around Rowan County and also on the in the Cave Run Lake section, given the wealth of trails that are out there. I don't presume to know the listenership, like how well they know the trails, but in the area that I live on the west side of Cave Run Lake, there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of miles of trail. And they are, from my point of view, underused. I mean, it's one thing to get out there by yourself, but you know, there's a lot of trails that just don't get a lot of use. And it's interesting to think about, given that we sit just, 30 or 40 miles north of the Red River Gorge, which is a massively used area of trail system. But anyway, thinking about the trails out there, we were working this past fall with our student group from the MSU Teach program, our secondary math and science preparation program, and some really energetic students within the club were, you know, wondering why we don't have, you know, more interpretive kind of stuff when they think about going to state parks or going to national parks. And this spurred me to get thinking about this, and also, you know, talk to other friends who are hikers and whatnot and think about, well, what more could we do? So we have like a 3-point kind of approach, starting working with the student club, but really at the end of this segment, I'll provide my email. Anyone in the community who would like to help out, it's literally at these beginning baby steps of this. So, you know, just doing this as a public good to further enrich the trail system. So first, you know, there's always issues of trail maintenance and cleanup. We want to we're going to be getting our students involved with that. There are places that need, especially just past this ice storm, some cleanup, you know, cleaning up branches and moving things. But then we're also working with the National Forest Service to think about new areas of trail development. The National Forest Service, from my understanding, has been under-resourced in the last number of years. So we want to help develop existing trails and maybe develop some new ones that are slated to be developed but haven't actually had that work done yet. Our biggest point is we want to start to develop an interpretive trail system. So if you can imagine, I know many of the listeners probably have been to a state park or a national park where they've seen kind of fixed signage that would interpret different parts of the region or history or whatever. And that could be something that might be something we do in the future. But what we had more in mind was something like an interpretive, like hike along podcast series. These exist out across the United States, but I don't know of one that's in the area. So I figured, along with the students, why don't we just get this going? So if you could imagine, you would have historians here at Morehead State or other historians in the region. They could like look at the social history of the region, maybe like the flooding of the Licking River Valley and the relocation of the small towns under what's now Cave Run Lake. If those of you don't know, when Cave Run Lake was built, some towns were relocated. Right where I live, there's a cemetery right down the road was literally moved from down in the river valley up on top of this hill. So that's an interesting bit to understand about how we use the land and how it affects communities. Also some backgrounding of the Native American history of the region, and that particularly I'm thinking of the use of the rock shelters in the region. You know, it's a very rugged landscape, but in a prior life, I actually worked for 2 years as an archaeologist. And I know we have National Forest Service archaeologists around too. That might be something we want to include in the history. And also thinking about, you know, interpreting the settlement and changes in the rural population of the region. This region, a lot of timbering went on and still goes on, but, you know, the land's been used in lots of different kinds of ways, you know, and that's a lot, it's kind of a gap in a lot of people's knowledge. But then from the science side, maybe we think about the hydrology of the region. So understanding the function of lakes like Cave Run and holding water back during the heavy rain flow to control flooding downriver, looking at the geology, specifically how do those rock shelters and all the arches that we know, I'm thinking specifically of Red River Gorge, but even the arches, there's a few arches around Cave Run Lake that I think they don't get a lot of attention. There's a really cool one right near where I live on the west side. And then the biology of the region, you know, what's indicative here? What's interesting here? We have a tremendous amount of tree diversity right here. It's one of the highest amounts of deciduous tree diversity in the United States. And then also in this podcast, there could be issues of current use and development, like, you know, what's growing, what's not growing in the region. So those are the kinds of things, you know, if you can imagine tapping on, going to all the expertise we have here at the university and having people record little blurbs that would be an interpretive, you know, story as you walk through a section of trail. And what we have in mind is specifically get like a pilot trail going and see how that goes, see how usership works. And then maybe we'd expand it out a couple key trails around the Cave Run Lake area. And then maybe really, you know, see how it works with a larger usership, like maybe the thousands of people that visit the Red River Gorge seasonally. I think we all know how the growth of popularity of that in the region. And that connecting back to the rural hub idea, we were made the hub for this region of Appalachia. And I could imagine in the future then reaching out to other, maybe regional universities throughout the central part of Appalachia and see if they want to do this same kind of interpretive trail work. One thing that's common to each section of Appalachia is we all tend to have a very well-developed trail system. So I know you might add this later. If anyone wants to get part of that work, I mean, be part of that work, they can just contact me directly at my email address. And that's dlong, at moreheadstate.edu. And I'd be happy to get you in the loop and we'll all get started working on this.
I know there's a lot of individuals who are interested in the trail system and spend a lot of time working with it, so I'm sure you will get a lot of emails after this show airs.
Yeah, thank you.
Finally, I know that this organization is within the university, and there's a lot of working parts within it as far as different individuals who are taking part in it. But what's the call to action here? I mean, what can our listeners do as far as moving forward to make sure that some positive change comes out of this initiative?
I think the biggest thing is just look for, you know, the opportunities that we're going to be putting out there. I think David's idea is a wonderful one that can really help jumpstart, you know, the work of the hub. We're charged with looking to be advocates, you know, for not only the college, but the surrounding region. And then hopefully that connection is going to start to branch out to the other states to where we're making some other connections and, just a growth of the entire program. Obviously, education is a big part of it. We want to make sure that, you know, we're not only just promoting the College of Education, but the university in general. And we're really looking to make those, I think, strengthen the connections that we have with districts in the region. That's something that I'm really excited about because, again, I think the work with the trail system could be a fantastic way for schools to use as a outdoor laboratory. And I think the local knowledge aspect of it is just, it's just powerful because sometimes we get so caught up in the outside, we forget about to appreciate what we have locally. And, probably the last piece that we're looking to do is just create a greater awareness of the university, the College of Ed, and, you know, the Appalachian region, which we're going to serve. So I think all those things are, you know, in the beginning stages. But again, you know, as David said, please get a hold of us. My email is s.shope@moorheadstateuniversity.com. And that way that they can get a hold of us if they've got ideas about how we can make a connection with them.
And on that note, we're out of time here on Open Mic. Dr. Shane Shope and Dr. David Long, I appreciate you both coming on to talk about the Appalachian Rural Education Hub with us today.
Thank you, Lena. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.